What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined today by a special guest, a first-time guest to the program, Mr. Brian Rockwood, a writer and podcaster at Fantasy Now Plus. And today we are going to sort of just take a little bit of a look back, a review of the 2025 NFL rookie class, kind of talk through how some of these players performed this past season, how they did for fantasy purposes, and also, you know, kind of just our feelings on them from a dynasty perspective. But before we jump in and talk about any individual players, Brian, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Herms, I am phenomenal right now. I feel so great. I'm excited to be here. We've done a lot of chatting, off air, just in Blue Sky, what have you. So, you know, we've been, you know, talking a whole bunch, and I'm excited to finally do that in a recorded session so now everyone else can see, you know, what kind of nonsense we get up to. So I'm excited. I am so great. And I just completely even forgot that I feel even better now that my Patriots are going to continue to play playoff football. This is so exciting. And the weekend is quickly coming by. Nico Collins might not play. So we're going to, I don't know, it's all shaping up to be a Drake May masterclass, hopefully. But we'll see. I don't know. I should probably knock on some wood somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, probably. You know, and I got to say, man, especially when it comes to Drake May, I'm so endlessly impressed with the, not too many weapons around him, but he's still got it done. Although if I talk too long about it, it'll just be a rehash of the conversation Tyler and I had in our last episode. So I'll spare the listeners as far as that goes. But yeah, glad to hear that you are doing well. I hope that your Patriots do well, although it would be nice if they could have, you know, been bad for longer than 5 years before becoming a juggernaut again. I mean, you know, the nerve that you all had to just suddenly become a magically very good football team again. Like, you couldn't have waited a little bit longer.
Look, it was hard. It, you know, people talk about it's only been 5 years. You didn't really have to watch Bailey Zappe queue up as a quarterback for multiple weeks in a row. You have to see Mac Jones somehow be exciting and then turn into just a, I don't even know how to describe, just a shell of himself. And then, there we go. You know, go off to San Fran, be fantastic. So that a little bummer there too. And then I forget about Cam Newton. I kind of feel like I'm missing a quarterback too. I don't know. It's been, you know, I jokingly say it's been a rough one, but yeah, it's absurd. Truly. The honest answer is, legitimately absurd that we found another quarterback that is very, very talented, and the bounce back from a 3-14 season has just been, you know, completely just mind-blowing. So enjoying it while I can, because who's to say what happens next?
Shout out Mike Vrabel, definitely an awesome coach. And I feel you, though, when it comes to having to watch a team not really figure out the quarterback thing. We're talking to a Steelers fan right now, Kenny Pickett. I believed, I more than I really care to admit, and that just blew up in my face. But that's the risk that you run when you are talking about quarterbacks that we haven't seen too much from, especially rookie quarterbacks who, you know, don't have a lot of playing experience. It's difficult to gauge exactly what they're going to become long term, but at least when it comes to these 2025 rookie quarterbacks, bam, segue, look at that. We have a few key names that we are going to talk about from this class. And I do kind of want to just start with the guy that got picked first overall, the Mr. Cam Ward from the Tennessee Titans. Just for context, as we go throughout this, I'm just going to tell people where I have these players ranked in my dynasty rankings, and also where Keep Trade Cut, their, you know, sort of interactive, you know, I guess marketplace evaluation from the dynasty community, just to, you know, highlight some different disparities there. I have Cam Ward at QB 23, Keep Trade Cut at QB 17, and like, I think maybe it's just being a little bit harsh, but the dude had the fourth highest time to throw in the pocket among qualified quarterbacks in our NFL stats hub on ftnfantasy.com. Go check that out. Bam, free plug. And he still just ended up getting sacked out the wazoo, not really getting the ball out in time, making some really weird throws. But I have to be a little bit forgiving and remember, Brian Callahan was a horrible head coach. The offense was just an absolute mess. And all respect to, you know, rookies Elik Ayomanner and Chimeri Dike at wide receiver, and also Gunnar Helm, an interesting name. Maybe we'll talk about it tight end toward the end. But it's not like he had a ton to work with. So, like, am I a little bit harsh on keeping him as QB23? Are you perhaps closer to where the Cube trade cut market is at QB17 when it comes to Cam Ward?
So, full disclosure, I haven't really done my dynasty rankings just yet, but thinking off the top of my head, I said 20, right? Like, I don't think he is there yet. I don't think you're harsh. I think he's still a QB2, right? Like, you know, if you're going to, you know, looking at Superflex rankings, he's still a QB you can play every week in your Superflex, but there's a lot of concern around, like, you know, what he can do as a fantasy producer. And that's not really getting into, like, him as, like, a normal NFL quarterback. He had a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, he had a very few bright spots this whole year. Because you're right, like, the coaching staff wasn't super great. They had Callahan, booted him. Then Mike McCoy, not really sure how much he was giving in terms of, you know, tips and tricks to help Cam Ward improve.
Yeah.
That's the tough one there. So, you know, you can't really take it with a grain of salt when you realize, like, he is just, we knew he was going to be bad. We knew the Titans were going to be a bad team just on paper. When you walked into that season, your star wideout is Calvin Ridley, who's over 30 years old. You know, he barely played the season. Okay, who's the next man up? 2 fourth-round rookie wide receivers. Oof. Or Van Jefferson. And Tyler Lock was there in the beginning of the season, too. So that's just kind of how that whole wideout room. When you start saying, oh, right, and that person's there, that's not a great indicator of how your season went. So I don't think you're harsh. I think he's right around there. I think what will have, like, what other people have to determine on their own rankings and where they see Cam Ward is how, if they think he can be a better version of, like, a pocket passer. And so that will be where his, like, differentiating point will be for fantasy. And it's tough to even tell right now because he just was outside the pocket a bunch and still got sacked. So we'll see. We'll see if that era of his game improves going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope it does. And I also certainly hope that they're able to go out and get him just, like, a dominant alpha of some kind. I mean, and thankfully, like, they're going to be picking pretty high in the NFL draft. They're going to have multiple shots at this. It's going to be an interesting one to watch for sure. I don't think Calvin Ridley's contract is so prohibitive. I also don't think they have a ton of money on the books anyway. So, like, whatever avenue they want to go explore that with, I really hope they give him a chance. I don't know. I mean, we could pivot and talk a little bit about Jackson Dart, although the listeners of the pod have already heard my thoughts and Tyler's thoughts ad nauseum about him. So I'm going to abstain and just hand it over to you for anything you want to tell people about Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I don't want to be a broken record, because if you ask anybody, I feel like we have the same answer. Very good quarterback, very good fantasy outlook, run awesome. I love that he runs so much. Please stop running into brick walls. Please protect your noggin. You need to not only play, like, you know, the rest of the game, but you also have many years after that. So please just slide once in a while. But I appreciate you trying to get the extra yards. I am excited now that they have a quote-unquote real coach, John Harbaugh. We'll see if this is going to be a good transition for him off of the Ravens. He was hired relatively quickly. The Giants moved rather fast. And once he has all of his weapons back, you know, we played half a game with Neighbors. So we'll see how that one goes as well. So very excited for Dart. I think he's going to be up in the mix, probably within that, like, at least top 15 range, I think. But we'll see where everything, like, kind of shakes out after the draft. They have another high draft pick. We'll see where that goes. It's probably defense. Hopefully O-line. But Dart, very positive outlook, very exciting outlook for a fan perspective. And that is, there's just so much to be, like, you know, hopeful about for that team.
Oh my God. Dude. I mean, one of the things that I immediately posted on Blue Sky last night when the word came out about Harbaugh getting this job was just, all I said was, your 2026 NFC East division winners. Like, I love the Harbaugh hire. I think that it's just going to immediately bring some stability and, like, true leadership culture to a team that could absolutely use it. And they have the defense to, you know, really contend right away if they just get it all coached properly, but that's a little bit more, you know, actual football analysis than fantasy football analysis. But before we get into our next one, I do just want to ask, because, you know, when Tyler and I talked about Dart in our last episode, one of the things we kind of talked about was just the possibility of him being like a top five dynasty quarterback. Neither of us had him ranked there because we're not ready to be that spicy yet. But I did say, at least for, you know, one of the two of us, by like the beginning of the summer or something, once we've gotten all this stuff done, especially if Wandale Robinson re-signs with the team, he is set to be a free agent. If he comes back, I think that would make it even better. Would I be insane if we hit July or August and I had just Jackson Dart as my QB five or something? I think I have him at like 8 or 9 now. Yeah, I have him at QB 8, keep trade cuts at QB 9. But like, I want to put him in the top five, dude. I want to. It's just irresponsible.
I think there's a world where you're absolutely justified. However, I hate doing this exercise because then you go, okay, who's QB 1? Josh Allen, right? Yeah. And then you go, who's QB 2? Well, it's probably Lamar Jackson still. Who's QB 3? Jaden Daniels. QB 4? All right, now we're getting exciting. I think it's still Joe Burrow. You know, you can probably start debating with a few folks. And then QB 5? Maybe it's Dart. It's probably May. But Caleb Williams also there as well? I don't know. It's very tricky. So are you crazy? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say you're not crazy. I'm going to hype you up a little bit more. If you come out with a dynasty ranking, come let's say like June, July, and Jackson Dart sitting there at 5, yeah, I'm just gonna just like back you up and be like, yeah, I'm in, I'm buying in, because there's a lot of peripherals that can really, you know, the support your case. So and also I'm just like a really like big hype man, so you know, when something's that spicy, yeah, I'm kind of in.
All right, hell yeah. All right, that's going to be cool. Very much looking forward to that. You know, folks, be sure to check out my dynasty rankings months from now when we get to that point. I only had one other quarterback from this class that I wanted to highlight individually, and it's just it really quickly. Tyler Shuck, I have him at QB 28. Keep Trade Cut has him at QB 22. And I get it, but also why? That is my question.
Why are people so high?
Yeah, like honestly, like I'll give a slightly more. he was fine, and I have to say I was very impressed at the fact that when he did get the opportunity to start, he ran a little bit more than I thought he was going to. Having that, he's not quite a Konami code guy, but as we like to talk about on this show, he's a scooter. He's not a runner, but he can scoot. He's definitely got that going for him. But I just don't. If you ask me who the Saints quarterback is in 2027, I don't think it's going to be Tyler Shuck.
It's a very, very interesting question, because my recency bias says Tyler Shuck is the best quarterback of all time because he helped me win my home league championship. So take a big old asterisk for everything I'm about to say. No. But there's a lot that I think we still don't really know about Shuck. He played enough games where we have a pretty good sample size of what to expect. I think there is a case to be said about what does he look like, and what does the Saints offense look like when the rest of the league now has tape on what like Shuck can do, and like what Kellen Moore of his offense is really going to try to do with this iteration of the team. Like Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck are not the same quarterback, not even a little bit. And Shuck definitely plays more prototypical, plus like that, you know, scoot ability. He's got that little Justin Herbert, can leg it a little bit. And I really like his pairing with Chris Olave. Now, what can he consistently do that? I guess. I guess we kind of have to say yes, because he did it in the back half. And I kind of wish I had their schedule like in front of me to see, all right, who do they actually play? Because I feel like it was a lot of NFC South to begin to really go with his
certainly so. Yeah, it was very like, it was very Bucks heavy. I think there was like there was a Panthers matchup in there, like it was very, very division centric.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we had, if I'm looking at this right, we had Falcons, Titans, Jets, Panthers, Bucks, Dolphins. That was kind of the last five games where they won four of the five. They played, I don't know where the Jets are, I don't know where the Titans are, but they're pretty bottom of the barrel defenses. So Why is he 22? Because people see that and they go, that is probably more real than we think it is. But we're too, like, we're not really confident just yet. I think probably 25. I think just outside of the top 24 is probably more realistic. But we'll see what the Saints want to do in the offseason. If they get him another weapon, right? A not Devon Bailey weapon. And if they pick up another running back that's not Devin Neal, because I think Alan Kamara is kind of on the downward trajectory. I think some things could get exciting for that offense. But I'm going to be I'm cautiously optimistic about Tyler Shuck's, like, you know, future. But I will probably be waiting on that. I'll throw some draft picks over, but I'm not going to really invest heavily on him just yet.
I think that's probably the safe approach. I think that's a sound way of looking at it. And also, I mean, you're right, especially about the supporting cast. Olave is really good. Juwan Johnson had just one superb season, just kind of out of nowhere. Like, he's got more to work with than I think I'm giving him credit for. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's still just, it's a weird situation there. Another team, kind of like you said, just have to really wait and see how they're going to fill out everything else before we get any major reads. Any other rookie quarterbacks from this class that you want to bring up? I know there's like one pretty major name that I am just not saying out loud. So, you know, if you want to go there, you can, but otherwise, up to you.
The quickest way I can like boil down Shedeur Sanders' season. Wow. That's a really tough three words to say in a row. Shedeur Sanders' season. He was fine. That's all it was. He was just okay. Like, he just did a lot of things that we thought he would do in college. Like, sorry, what we saw him do in college, which is run back 15 yards, get sacked. He did a lot of good things. Like, he helped Harold Fannin, kind of, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. Like, he was able to, again, emerge as a really, like, a relevant tight end option for fantasy. So we love that for Sanders. But otherwise, I don't know. He was, like, not exciting. And that will be kind of the last thing I'll put there. I think he's just a pocket passer that we can just forget about. Like, I think we've seen enough where he's just is what he is. He's going to throw for 250 and two and probably an interception every game. And that's not really where we want to be for fantasy. So not really great there. And then the very last name I'll throw out is Riley Leonard, because I had this really bad habit of getting locked into one player because they had a really, really fun, like, college season. So, yeah. This season was Riley Leonard for me, and I really thought, like, all right, he has kind of a lot of the athletic traits to be a cool quarterback. I don't know if good's the right word, but he ran a ton at Notre Dame, and you know, they got to the championship. That's not a small feat. You can't really be like a horrid quarterback to do that. You know, I say that, and we can look at the long list of national champions that were pretty bad in the pros, but that's okay. That's for later. That's a different podcast. Riley Leonard, and then he landed on a team that, like, needed a quarterback. Like, he landed on the Colts. Like, going into the season, Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, and Riley Leonard was the QB depth chart. Like, there's a non-zero chance that he could have started. Daniel Jones won the job. They did well. We got some good fantasy value out of that. But yeah, Riley Leonard, interesting one for me. I think he's still kind of, you know, going to be like QB. I don't know, like 38, 40 or something. But I don't know. He was fun. And I think that's my Riley Leonard tangent.
There you go. And hell, look, dude, if for any reason, I don't know exactly what the injury recovery timeline is going to be like for Daniel Jones, but even if he does re-sign with Indianapolis, I don't know that he's going to be ready for the very beginning of the season. It's at least possible that we could get, like, starts out of Riley Leonard, and he could be like a usable piece in fantasy lineups, even if he is only like your QB4 or something on your team. Probably a name that would be pretty cheap and also potentially viable in a startup draft. It just, you know, it wouldn't have to be too much. I think you're kind of onto something there. I don't think it's ridiculous at all to even mention him. He should be brought up in conversation. And there are a lot of other names that we have to bring up in this conversation about the 2025 rookie class, but not before we hear from our sponsors. So please do not go anywhere, folks. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast.
Yo, 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 how's it hanging? C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sportsbooks in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Crossing Routes podcast, still fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms, he is still Brian, and we are still talking about the 2025 rookie class in review, dynasty purposes, and all sorts of other stuff like that. It's been a fun chat so far. We've gotten through a lot of names at the quarterback position, but now we can shift over to the running backs. Before we get super deep into it, I just want to say we're not going to talk too much about the very, very big names. Ashton Jeanty, Amarian Hampton, Quinshon Judkins, like, they're very good players, and they ended up being very good players. So I personally don't have a ton to say about them. Brian, if you do, absolutely feel free to go off on any of them. But I do want to ask you, especially as someone who follows the Patriots as closely as you do, when looking at Travion Henderson, I know a lot of people are justifiably excited. I mean, he was a great prospect, very high capital, ended up producing, but he doesn't have the backfield to himself. There's this guy, Ramondre Stevenson, that's just around, and I don't think he's going anywhere. So how do you kind of forecast this backfield moving forward, and what are some of your feelings just about where people are at with Henderson, knowing that there is a clear obstacle in his way?
Yeah, I completely understand the excitement, and I get it. I know you really, really want this explosive player to be getting 25 carries a game, like 8 targets out of the backfield, just giving the ball a million times because he's going to run off another 60-yard touchdown. I get it. The problem is Ramondre Stevenson is like a backbone of this offense. And he really isn't going to go anywhere. He has a contract that's going to keep him around for another 2 years. And he's fine. He's fine. He's like a totally fine running back. And he's a, you know, the bruiser to Henderson's lightning, you know, thunder to the lightning, rather. And the Patriots just really, really like what he brings to the offense. That's just really hard to take off the field. So, you know, when we look at Henderson as like a dynasty asset, yes, he's very exciting. He's very much worthwhile and valuable. We just have to be patient because the real breakout is probably going to come not next year, but the year after, where, you know, where Ramondre is another year older and everyone in the offense is a little bit more experienced with the McDaniel system and Drake May is a little better. So I get it. I know why you're excited. I know why you're ranking him high. Just take a step back and just kind of think like, all right, you know, in your startups, sure, go for it. Draft him where you want to, because he's going to eventually be like a Jahmyr Gibbs type of player. And, you know, right now Ramondre is the David Montgomery to that. So we have to be a little patient and get there. But it's tough to remember that he was third on the depth chart behind Antonio Gibson as well. And so it took an Antonio Gibson ACL tear to then move Henderson up again. And then it was a Stevenson injury that let Henderson kind of get the bulk of the playing time. So, you know, we love Vrabel as a coach. They have ascended the Patriots to a fantasy relevance, but he's still kind of an old school guy. He's still kind of, you know, we're going to play our guys in order. And that's tough. It's tough to wrap your head around, especially when I see, like, even now I see people drafting in best ball, like they're drafting Henderson first over Stevenson. And this is in, like, you know, playoff best ball, where we just saw Stevenson take the majority of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the wishing and the hoping, but it's just not there yet. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. One thing I do want to highlight for people, I know that this is supposed to be a rookie conversation, but on Keep Trade Cut, Ramondre Stevenson, RV37. It's pretty cheap. Okay. The Patriot Way, while maybe not in its original Belichickian form, probably not very much underway in Foxborough, but like Mike Vrabel's he's an old school dude. They're going to keep doing their thing. And as long as they want to have Stevenson in there and participating in the offense, they're going to have it happen. So that's definitely a name that I think people really should be paying a bit more attention to, especially in startup season here. But when it comes to the rest of this rookie running back class, there are just a lot of great names that we could get into. I am curious from your perspective, though, what some of those highlights are and what sort of names that we should really, really be paying attention to, especially as we're looking to, you know, possibly make some deals this offseason.
Yeah. Cam Scadaboo is just a name that I think people should go by, but after like week three of next season. And why I'm saying this is because his injury was pretty brutal. You know, he has a broken, like a fractured ankle. I think either ankle or tibia or fibula, one of the lower leg injury.
One of those things. Yeah.
I don't know. I left my doctor's notes in the other podcast. So, what's gonna happen is he's gonna start off slow. That's really what's gonna boil, like what's all gonna boil down to. And when he's starting slower, I think you can start shooting off offers and see if you can go get Cam Scadaboo, because he's going to be really good. And I think there's going to be a lot of time where we see some things that throughout the summer about, all right, how's his progress? Where's he at? Where's he going to start? Is he going to end up on the PUP? Like, and you kind of hope he plays, because he's probably, if he goes on the PUP, like no one's going to trade Cam Scadaboo for anything. I think the hype is very much at an all-time high, you know, with him. Like, you know, it's just an exciting player, fun to watch. I think this is a player that will slowly but surely rise in the ranks as we get closer to draft season. And I think if you can try to go grab him after like the first, you know, bad game, you know, I think no one's really gonna give up that early, but he is a late round running back. It's not the coach's running back. There's, you know, who knows, right, what's going on in that front office. And you don't really know what's going on with this draft, right? We have no idea what the Giants are going to do. And if they do something really silly, like take Jeremiah Love bright and early, could you imagine? Ooh. Right? So, you know, like obviously if that happens, throw everything I just said out the window. Don't go by.
Oh, for sure.
But I thought he was really great. I was wrong on Cam Scadaboo. I knew he was a super talented player. I just didn't think it really meshed into the NFL in the way that we wanted it to. I was wrong. And, you know, that was a fun thing to be wrong about, because he was very, very good.
Yeah. Definitely one of the more exciting people. I do want to know very quickly, though, when it comes to this backfield, does Tyrone Tracy Jr. impact this for you at all? Because he did get a decent number of touches before he got hurt really early in the season and kind of opened that door for Cam Scadaboo. And then obviously when Scadaboo went down, Tracy was, you know, in charge for a decent chunk of the year and played pretty well. So like, does that weigh in your head a little bit when thinking about him, or not really?
Not a ton. I think it was more of a sooner rather than late. Like it was a when, not if, Cam Scadaboo was going to get an opportunity, right? And, you know, there's some funky things with that offense to start the year. Russ Wilson was doing something that looked like playing quarterback. And they really wanted, I think they just wanted Scadaboo to just get used to the NFL speed and see where he was at in terms of just other running back duties like pass blocking before they kind of really unleashed him. I don't know. It doesn't really play into my calculus, if you will. You know, how he rose to prominence. And, you know, I think Tyrone Tracy's fine. I think he's like a plenty good just football player in general. I don't think he's that big of a hurdle for Scadaboo to like continue his rise towards like a top of a very like productive running back.
Yeah, probably not. And I guess I was kind of curious just because I was checking keep trade cut here. Say, look at us. Talking is very hard to do sometimes. RB 41. So like, it's not like he's so far out of relevance, you know, but it definitely still something to consider. But glad to get some of your thoughts on that for sure. When it comes to some of these other rookie running backs, though, I know you have a lot of other names you want to get to. So if you got one that you want to fire off right here, go for it.
Yeah. All right. So real quick, this, I just want to say, Bashaul Tuten, very exciting running back name to keep locked into your noggin. Travis Etienne's most likely going to be a free agent, and then he's probably not sticking around in Jacksonville. That leaves the door wide open for Bashaul Tuten to take over that backfield. The only other option is LaQuinn Allen, who is another rookie, and he's just primarily a special teamer slash like passing down guy. So he's really not going to steal many reps away from Bashaul Tuten. So that's a really interesting name, and a name that I think, you know, everyone is going to be saying a lot come spring and summer, once we figure out where that free agency class lands. And the very, very last name I'll bring up is Kyle Manungai. I don't know if you want to go first or not, but I loved Manungai coming out of Rutgers for no reason outside of I live very close to Rutgers, and so hey. I was pretty in tune with the football happenings there, and I was like, that guy continues to run very hard in every single clip I see, so I like this. And then you know, sure enough, slow but surely, like watching more and more film as like an actual analyst with eyeballs, or sorry, let me just try that phrase again, because every analyst has eyeballs. I try to use a more thoughtful view of his tape, and I thought, okay, this dude just runs really hard like Isaiah Pacheco. You know, yeah. He has that same type of, you know, skill set of just getting through the line and then being explosive once he gets out of there. And if he lands on the right team, it's going to be great. And I was kind of worried with the Bears because I knew Swift was there. And they still had Roschon Johnson, who was someone that people were, you know, kind of high on. You know, that seems forever ago. But he was a name that was on that depth chart that people were like, ah, well, Manungai's kind of buried now. So then the year happens. Ben Johnson says, that's our guy. Get him in there. And he surprises us all. So that's one of my favorite little surprises of the year. Was Kyle Manungai in the sixth round of the real draft. Fourth round draft pick in a rookie draft.
Yeah, no, he's a fun guy. I have him as my RB28. Keep trade cut a little bit higher at RB22. I could be talked into higher. I just assume that like DeAndre Swift isn't fully going anywhere. But like the reason this was so amusing to me that you wanted to bring him up especially is because the last article that I wrote that came out on ftnfantasy.com, you guys can go check it out right now. I did a full like report card review of the Fantasy Face-Off series that I wrote all summer, you know, basically just looking at, you know, guys with similar redraft ADPs that play at the same position, kind of lay out the cases for and against each, and then pick the one that I thought was better. I had one for DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard. Pretty easy for me to pick DeAndre Swift. You know, the Titans were the disaster that we thought they were going to be, but the thing that I just kick myself for, when I was outlining the case against Swift, I had brought up the fact in the article that the 1 year that he had with Ben Johnson as the Lions offensive coordinator before Swift himself left, he ran a committee with Jamal Williams, who punched in like a billion touchdowns that year, and was like, hey, history could repeat itself here. I guess there could be something. Maybe one of Kyle Manungai or Roschon Johnson could do something. But like, I stared it in the face and then in the same section just wrote, but don't worry about it. I'm really not that concerned about it. It still should probably be DeAndre Swift because he gets all this work. So like, I knew it was possible. I confronted it. I told people to ignore it. And then after the week 5 bye, Kyle Manungai's opportunity share in the Chicago Bears backfield, 21.5. DeAndre Swift's, on the other hand, 22.6. I am the dumbest man alive, Brian. I don't know what else to say, especially because, like, I mean, I kind of liked Manungai a little bit. Him playing in the ACC, we get the games on TV, or, you know, in my neck of the woods where I live, and I remember watching him and being like, that boy, nice. But I did not take it seriously enough, and I hate myself for what I did. I really do.
Hey, you know what? We can only kick ourselves for so long, and then you realize, you know what? You know, Kyle Manungai will embrace you back with open arms. Say, it's okay. Don't worry. Just draft me later. We can draft me now into redraft leagues next year. It'll be fine. You'll be absolved of all your, misfires, I'll say.
I hope I can get back into my own guy's good graces. I am a big believer in him, though. I mean, especially if they're going to keep going the way that they've been going, running it back the way that they have been. Like, this offense is starting to click. There are a couple other rookies on this team that warrant discussion. The Bears are chock full of very exciting rookies from this past class. But the only one that I really wanted to mention before we, you know, wrap up running back is the guy that I was kind of on the entire offseason as just going so late in these rookie drafts, very late in redraft as well. And Joe Mixon, what, that foot, man, like, it was never going to heal itself. Okay. We got to a point where there were numerous people in like the NFL reporting sphere just being like, yo, this is not good. And if you didn't hop on the Woody Marks train after that, then I didn't know what to tell you, especially because even if Mixon had played, he had this great pass catching ability at USC. And also before he even transferred there at Mississippi State, it was in his prospect profile. He was a change of pace guy. And even without Mixon, Nick Chubb's not going to do a ton of, you know, pass catching stuff or whatever. And then lo and behold, Marks just takes over the backfield. And it was so cheap. You could have had it in like the third rounds. And I told people, like, I write newsletters that go into everybody. If you subscribe to FTN Fantasy, there are certain days of the week you'll hear it directly from Herms. I told you all on this podcast as well, just go after Woody Marks. But even after I say all of that, I am not that far ahead of the market at RB23 as opposed to keep trade cut RB26. But I did want to shout out Woody Marks as somebody who I think really overachieved in an opportunity where it was his for the taking. And even though the offensive line is trash, that's one of the big issues that I still have with the Houston Texans, not just for their running game, but even for the passing game too. I mean, you know, let's get CJ Stroud some cleaner pockets so we can see a little bit more out of this passing attack, guys. But I don't know, man, should we be more excited about Woody Marks? Like, is he kind of just the dude? Or, I don't know, would me putting him any higher, say, in the top 20, just be aggressive?
It might be. And I feel so bad because there was a lot to like about Woody Marks. But I am worried about what they'll do going forward because, like we said, Joe Mixon, the vibes were just horrifically bad in the beginning of the season. So I don't think he's coming back. And Nick Chubb, unfortunately, is not quite the same guy who he was. I don't think he's gonna either be relevant or coming back at all. I forget what deal he's on. He might be a one-year deal. And then Dare Gumbawale is just, you know, he's our special teams, third down back kind of, you know, player, fill-in rotational guy. They might bring in another running back, and that feels bad because I want to temper expectations a little bit because we do have a pretty nice running back free agent class. And if the Texans think we're going to spend our draft on the line and then we're going to try to get another explosive running back, like say like they open their wallet for like Breece Hall or something like that, or like they go get Kenneth Walker, like that is going to really hurt Woody Marks' stock. And I'm going to just like be so sad because you had such great value, right? Like for this whole year, like fourth round undrafted even, and he becomes, you know, their RB1. We'll see. I would suggest maybe keeping him right around 23, 24. Because I think once he goes a little higher, we're going to start really thinking, maybe not.
Okay, so Herm just keeping it safe. Good, good. Good to know that I am keeping it measured as possible. And also, to your point, this is why we don't trade for running backs in the offseason unless we are like very, very sure of their status anyway. So, I mean, a lot to think about when it comes to Woody Marks, a lot to think about when it comes to some of these running backs. I guess I will ask if there are any of those like bigger name guys, just so that we can say that we kind of talked about them. Is there one that you would be going to target out of, you know, maybe Ashton Jeanty or Omarion Hampton? Somebody like that, like, is there somebody that you think you have a good lean on of among the elites?
Like, if I were to spend up, right, I would probably go aim for Genty this upcoming year, like during the season, because what's going to happen is the Raiders are going to go ahead and, you know, pick Mendoza. They are going to have to figure out all of the other holes on that offense before, you know, really ascending to an actual competitor. So again, we might have to wait a year till we see like full Ashton Genty. And if that team who owns Genty isn't really trying to wait another year and they want to see if they can cash in, like say, like, you know, it's a rebuilding team, they're bad. And then this upcoming year, they're still like really, really bad. And they want to cash in on like the 27 class, which is very exciting. That might be a time where you go like, I will trade you like a first and something to go get Genty. And then, you know, that following season, hopefully the Raiders figure it out. You know, I don't really know when the last time they have figured it out. So we are kind of betting on something that hasn't happened in quite some time. But, you know, yeah, there's a world we can go buy Genty. It's going to be expensive, which is a bummer, but it might be worth it in the end. And then the very last, like, you know, RJ Harvey is a name that is someone that keep your eyes on and see how they play the Broncos as a whole in these playoffs. And then, you know, what the vibe is throughout the summer, because J.K. Dobbins, I'm sure, is going to come back. They like him a lot. But at least when Harvey has the opportunity, he's been good. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. See if there's a buy window that you can kind of jump on. Because he is someone, it's a bummer he's so old. It's a bummer they came in old. But, and that maybe even be a buying chip for you, right? Like, yeah, that's the right phrase, right? So you'd be like, oh, he's too old. This guy's like, he's like already 30. He's like halfway there. So, yeah, those are two names I'm probably, I mean, Genty's gonna be way harder, but two names that if I'm buying, I'm gonna go try and do that, because I think that's within a reasonable buying point.
I think that's for sure. Especially with like Hampton, probably not as likely. Everybody knows the Chargers offensive line just spontaneously combusted. It's not really, by the time he came back, it's not his fault that blocking was suboptimal. So yeah, I'm with you. Definitely two good names that people could go out and attack. But unfortunately, that is going to wrap things up for us in this episode. We have gone a little bit long in the tooth, but listeners, if you enjoyed my guest, Mr. Brian Rockwood from Fantasy Now Plus, writer and podcaster, he does multiple things, folks. There will be a part two of this 2025 rookie discussion going over some receivers and tight ends. It's going to be an absolute blast. Brian, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of the Crossing Rounds podcast. Is there anything that you would like the audience to go check out of your work, or where they can follow you on social media, anything like that? Let them know.
Yeah, no, honestly, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, we said before we're going to go low long, but hey, what can you do, right? you can follow me on Blue Sky at Brock Talks Fantasy Football at fantasynowplus.com, because that's Blue Sky is super long. You can find my show, Get Tilted, on YouTube. That's where we talk about DFS lineups. We are currently on pause as we're no longer in the season, but you can, you know, if you're interested in kind of our takes back then, go check that out on YouTube. That's on the Get Tilted channel on YouTube. And that might be it for pluggables. I think that's kind of, and then just fantasynowplus.com is just where you find the rest of my content, the rest of our articles there, and anything else that's going to come out in the future.
Hell yeah, my dude. Folks, that is Brian Rockwood once again from Fantasy Now Plus. All definitely just go check out his stuff. Great dude. Very, very sharp mind, as you can all tell. And as far as my stuff, you know, you know where to follow me. You know to go to ftnfantasy.com to check out all of the other cool stuff that we come out with. We also got other podcasts and stuff. You can find all of that information on the website. Just go hang out there. But until part two of our conversation, we are going to have to say goodbye. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you again soon. Think about it. Staying up and sleeping late.